Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Iris, for the pre-service music. Good morning. For those who are in Port Huron, you know the weather. For those of you basking in the sun of the south, God forgive you. Because we're not basking in anything but ice. So our worship attendance has declined, but I have a feeling the radio or simulcast or podcast has doubled or tripled because you're staying at home or it's warm. We don't blame you. I counted the number of noses. We're all kind of counting heads here. I think we have almost an even dozen or a baker's dozen, so that should make us like the 12 apostles who followed Jesus. I was asking those of us here who wanted to be Judas, and we had no takers. So we are here to worship our God. I had gotten a lot of Facebook messages, people saying, is service still on? And it's like, absolutely. If the pastor can get here, anything can happen here. And you got to remember, my first 3 years of ordained ministry was in North Dakota. And I'm ready for almost anything with weather. So we're glad you're with us in person or by radio, Iris, at the organ this day. We celebrate Holy Communion this third Sunday of the month, but also third Sunday of Easter. So proper Easter greeting is a response. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Wally and Cheryl Deesing, as well as the flowers this day on the altar. We thank them for those contributions to our ministry. Worship begins with page one. If you're able to rise for thanksgiving for our baptism during the Easter season. So, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life that's given in baptism. We do give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in, and waters that inspire the wonder, for water that gives life to our very planet. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, from the water that comes from our tap, for the rain, snow, not necessarily ice, for the local water sources, St. Clair River, the Black River, but also Lake Huron. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place. We give you thanks for your salvation through water, for delivering Noah and his family through the flood waters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst for living water. We give you thanks for your salvation through water. And we give you thanks for the life of all the baptized, for all who gather here, for godparents, baptismal sponsors, for children and grandchildren, for brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized. And we give you thanks for life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into a life of freedom and service, for our calling to be your people, sent out for the life of the world. We give you thanks, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, now all the vault of heaven resounds.
Thank you.
our service continues from page 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise is Shout to the Lord. It's on page 5 that follows. Service continues, page 6. The Lord be with you. And if you'll join me in the prayer of the day in the bold text. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have two readers who are drafted at the last minute because the other two are safely in their home warm. Judy Abrams, first read.
First reading comes from Acts. Chapter 3, verse 12 through 19. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness, and by faith in his name, his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. And Kathy Cole is our second lecturer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading today comes from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God, and thank you, Kathy.
The gospel reading and the acclamation. If you'll please rise, we speak the acclamation together. Alleluia. Our hearts burn within us while you open to us the scriptures. Alleluia. The gospel for the text is from the Gospel of Luke, 24th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus himself stood among the disciples. He said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled. They were terrified. They thought that they might be seeing a ghost. So Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise within your hearts? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See that it is myself. I myself. Touch me. See. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus then proceeded to say to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took the fish. He ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from the city of Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. I invite you to, as we do every week, look at the three lessons. You can look at the summary on the back inside cover of an outline, sort of. Or you can walk through the Word with me as we go through the three lessons. Page 6. Takes us to the book of Acts, third chapter. Peter speaking to the Israelites, continuing as part of his sermon from Jerusalem to the Jewish people gathered there for a festival of Pentecost. He tells them this continuity of what took place in the city that has brought condemnation upon Jesus was a fulfillment of Scripture. He indicated to them that this Jesus, who was indeed crucified by the religious leaders, was really the fulfillment of the promise God spoke of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the ancestors. And they were glorified in the presence of Jesus, who was not only crucified, which was a terrible crime and a way of punishment by the Roman Empire, but was God's victory over death. And you remember that these people that you consider your religious leaders, they have rejected the chosen one of God. God did not reject his son. He rather gave him life. And by his giving life and bringing him back to life, he is the author of all real life. Peter says, I'm not the only one who believes this. There are more witnesses who have seen the Lord Jesus. Remind you, during the days preceding Pentecost, those first 40 of the 50 days were times in which Jesus walked, talked, ate, ministered, educated, and opened up the minds of the apostles. So he had 40 days. That's why we have the 7 weeks of Easter. It's not just one day, it's the 7 weeks. And so in the course of things, he reminds them that we are a body of people who have seen, heard, read, witnessed, been part of the witness and testimony that Christ is indeed alive. And we also know that this healing, Peter is alluding to the fact that he and the disciples had spoken a word of healing to a man who was crippled. People were saying, what is this kind of charlatan? What kind of magic are they doing in the name of Jesus? I think most skeptics would find some kind of earthly explanation. And Peter goes on to say, this is not a trick. This is not magic. This is the power of God made real. As we testify, Jesus can bring life, healing into the life of God's people. Now, if they were doing it for their own fame, he would have taken credit, right? He didn't. This was not something to bolster the position of Peter or the other 11 disciples before the Jewish populace. It was to bolster the name of Jesus before the people. What good is a secret if that secret isn't revealed to the nations? And so the church after Pentecost is on a commission and a direction to proclaim Jesus Christ dead and raised from the dead by the power of God. It is Christ who has made this man strong. It is that faith that has given this perfect life in your presence. You have seen this miracle. A lot of times, scoffers of the miracles of Jesus or the early church recorded in the book of Acts, they'll say, well, if they had the power, why didn't they heal everybody? That will always remain a mystery. But these things are given so that we may know the power in Jesus Christ. We know that even the resuscitations being brought back to life, eventually the person would die. We know that there isn't going to be complete or full healing until resurrection. But these are glimpses of the kingdom of God now in our midst, not waiting for the parousia, the second coming, but now among us, that Christ is and bears witness to the power of his Father in heaven. In today's world, you hear people say, you know, they were just told a week or a month ago they had terminal cancer and then it's aborted. And maybe a few years or months are added to their lifespan. You thank God for any kind of healing that happens in this life. It may be that some are not healed in this life. We get it and we understand as much as we pray earnestly for the healing in this life. It ultimately is God's will, God's plan, for each person. We don't know it. We don't understand the mystery of it, but we know who's behind the power to give life and death through God and Jesus Christ. That's what Peter is giving testimony to. Once upon a time, you and all the leaders here in Jerusalem, Peter said, you acted in ignorance. You really were blinded by the God of this world. From seeing the connection between Jesus who walked among us of Nazareth and the Old Testament scriptures which look forward to a suffering Messiah. You wanted the triumphant one who came in the name of David, who would vanquish Rome, Well, he took a different course. He took one as the suffering one among us, and he gave his life as a ransom for us, and he has redeemed us through his suffering and death. Peter then ends this particular sermon for the people gathered there in Jerusalem. Therefore, repent. Turn to God so that your sins also will be wiped away. You know, we go through the act of confession of sin in our liturgy, and it's so easy to recite words and speak them and all that stuff. But does it grab our soul? Do we understand? God erases the slate. God, it's not a matter of God goes back and flash forwards that which was there, kind of like the internet, it has everything preserved. No, God destroys it. Sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, the Old Testament prophet says. When Christ says you are forgiven indeed, and set free from the chains of bondage to sin, and free now to live a new life, empowered by God, and renouncing the ways of the flesh. In the second text, we've been having several readings so far in this Eastertide from 1 John. Beautiful epistle. If you've never read it in its entirety, I would commend it to you. But in this portion that we examine today, page 8 in your bulletin, if there's one characteristic word that John uses in the entire epistle, it's the word love. Love. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. A lot of times people say, ah, God can't possibly love me. Oh, yes, God has loved people much worse than you. God's love abounds further than we can ever comprehend. God's grace and mercy is beyond comprehension. And best of all, not only do we have forgiveness of sin, we have adoption as God's children. We say in the liturgy of baptism, okay, sacrament that some take for granted, but should never be taken for granted, we are adopted. We are made part of the family of God by water and spirit, the scriptures give witness to, so that we are no longer aliens or foreigners to God. We have a place at the table, a la communion. We are invited to come forward. We're invited to take and eat, take and drink, a la. We are friends with God through Jesus Christ, not enemies, not aliens, redeemed by Jesus Christ. The reason that the world doesn't know us as Christians is that it did not know him. How many times I hear modern Christians saying in the last 20 years, oh, the world seems so hostile to Christians. And it does. Is it worse than any other time? Only God knows. But at this time, it seems extremely hostile. If you call yourself Christian, the world portrays us as if we're rejecting and condemning everybody else. And it's like, no, can't I have my faith too? If others have a right to be taught in schools as part of history or culture, why can't the Christian faith be treated under equal process of law? If we who bear the name of Jesus Christ are told we are to be kept silent and let the secularists speak, don't give up the power. We have freedom in this country. We have the freedom to speak just as anybody else does. We have a freedom to give witness just as anybody else can. And let's not abdicate it because others cowered over us. The world doesn't know us because it didn't know Jesus. Can we expect any better treatment? You know, there was a day and age, and I grew up in it, many of you did. You couldn't throw a stone without hitting a church. Now many of those churches are vacant or torn down. There was a day and age in which you couldn't find anybody who wouldn't call themselves a Christian. Now you find very few who say, I believe. There's a day and age when you chose a spouse and you knew they were a person of faith. Now in today's world, it's hard to even talk about it. I do in session three with premaritals. I want to raise the subject that for many couples, getting married is taboo. And that is, do you have faith? And what is your spouse's faith or belief system? That kind of sacrosanct talk is usually avoided because we don't want arguments. How about the freedom to speak? The freedom to believe? And while we have the freedom to believe, it doesn't mean we reject. It means we believe. And to clarify our own faith to perhaps a person who's not of faith when we're choosing marriage material. I always like the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians. He says, if you're choosing a spouse, if at all possible, be equally yoked. That phrase for Paul in the Corinthian church was to say, if you have faith, be selective who you choose to be your partner, that they too might be a person of faith. But if you still get married, that's fine, but work at it. Build a bridge where we can talk the language. And by so doing, the Apostle Paul says, some have left their spouse to believe in Jesus Christ. You do it gently. You do it with love, words, behaviors, kindness, gentleness, respect. By so doing, we lead others to the faith. It's not by badgering. It's not by controlling. It's not by domination. It's to be like Christ, gentle, kind, but steadfast to your belief system. And so they go on, John in the epistle, to say, everybody who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know he was revealed to take away sins. He, Jesus. In him there was no sin. If you're going to abide in Christ, you must choose a life that does not seek to sin. So little children, do not deceive yourself. Do what is right. Do what is righteous. A very slick way of defining righteousness in Judaism of the Old Testament is simply the phrase right, R-I-G-H-T, living. If you're going to ask the question, but what is right living? It's so cultural, it's so biased. No, it isn't. Read God's word. Love kindness, do justice, walk humbly with your God. When that question is asked by Micah 6:8, what does God want of you? It's a very simple formula. Do it. You'll live. That's what God wants of his people. Gospel text, page 9 and 10. From Luke. Jesus in his appearance to the disciples. Now, we saw the text last week from the Gospel of John. This week, it's the Gospel of Luke, so don't think it's the same. It's not. But it's the same greeting. Peace be with you. Irene is the Greek word. It means peace, harmony, and the Hebrew word was shalom, well-being. When Christ comes among us, he brings us something the world cannot give. It's something that eases the conscience, makes it easier and better to go to sleep at night instead of worrying. Peace. Apostle Paul writes in the epistles, be not anxious about anything, but in everything give God your concerns in prayer. And let go of it. And trust God for working it through with you. Not just for you, but also with you. That peace that comes out of knowing that Christ is real and stands with us, not in opposition to us. They said it was a ghost. He says, look, come on, guys. Let's be real. I'm standing before you. I'm talking to you. You hear my language. I stand and I show you my hands. Look at my feet. Is this not the same body you saw crucified? And then he says, give me something to eat. Now, that's not a condition that in the resurrection we're going to be hungry. We might be. But it is a condition he wants to give evidence to them. He is not a ghost. You can watch all those paranormal programs about ghosts and apparitions, all the sounds, all those faint images that are videotaped. They call them ghosts. Lord only knows what they are. But when Jesus appears, he has substance. So he eats. And I always like to jokingly said, and that fish didn't flop on the floor. There was substance. Flesh, somewhat bones and a new nature. He could contain it. He was not a material facade or image or hallucination. He had what we call the spiritual body. And then for reference, 1 Corinthians 15. As Christ was raised from the dead, so we shall be in like fashion. He was the first fruits, and then we shall be raised like him in similar fashion. The spiritual body has special characteristics. It's not like the present body. And I still reference, as I did on Easter Day, to an experiment I did in my house a year ago. I purchased it during the Lenten season, chrysalises, caterpillars, forming their shells. By Easter, butterflies came out of them. They had hundreds of legs, I never counted them, on the caterpillars. When they came out, they had six. They went in crawling upon the earth and on leaves to get their nutrient. When they came out, they flew. They had no idea what was coming their way. They just knew what they were if they had any self-recognition. But when they came out, they had no knowledge of what was beyond them, before them. They had a new existence. I think the reason why the Christian church took that image of the butterfly for resurrection, because it speaks of that major, major transformation. This body will be seated to the ground, but when it comes out again, it'll be imperishable. It'll have an existence none of us have ever known before, and the characteristic the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians, describes, it will be eternal. Book of Revelation says, we will never die again. We'll never cry again. We'll never have disease again. No cancer, no Alzheimer's. No reason to be sad. But in the presence of God, we will know not only irene peace, but we'll know fully the joy of Jesus Christ. This is Easter, and there is a promise all three lessons bear witness and truth to, that the one who is crucified did so according to God's plan, not our plan. And God surprised everybody, including his closest associates, with the resurrection. Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day. The lyrics are there on page 11. With high delight, let us unite.
worship continues with our prayers. If you'll please rise, John leads us in our prayers.
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, we pray for the church in its many expressions. Strengthen the National Youth Gathering Planning Team. Prepare the hearts and minds of the youth and adults who will experience your love this summer. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, you gave us dominion over every living creature. Grant us wisdom to use our power to develop sustainable farming and housing practices. Slow down our rush to consume. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, walk with all refugees who leave their homes to move to safety. Protect them on their journey. Greet them with hospitality. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, you heal us. For all who have not been granted the healing they desire and for all who cannot access the care they need, send social workers, doctors, parish nurses, and other caregivers. Today, we pray especially for Iris Cook, Marvin Miller, Tony Gaines, Doug Abbott, Jennifer Hudson, Jerry Willer, Lisa Slitter, Sister Sandy Smith, Carol Jaskowski, Matthew Borntrager, Robin Bradley, cousin of Jane Borntrager, and those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sillier, Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy, God our provider, you call us to give generously. Bless the finance and stewardship teams of this congregation. Make us joyful givers of the time, talents, and treasures you have first given us. Lord, in your mercy. God of our ancestors, in you we have our beginning and our end. We remember all the faithful departed and fold a shield of peace, all those who mourn. Hold them in your love. Lord, in your mercy.
We entrust all of our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts which make our ministries possible. Some things to both for ourselves. I guess we'll make a call, Kathy, about whether or not the youth and the committee takes place. If there's people here, we'll have it. If not, we'll reschedule to the following week. Okay. Yeah, it's about the best we can do. So if you're listening by radio and you're coming in, we will count noses to know if we meet today, okay, given the situation of the weather. May 7th, for the community, just to let you know, we are again gifted and blessed by the Port Huron Women's Chorus and Chorale, the Musicale. They will be doing their spring concert with us on Monday, May 7th, at 7 o'clock here at Our Savior. Toni Gaines, hearing that, and I'm sure she's listening to this broadcast, came to our Thursday night Bible study and said, Pastor, I read about them coming. I said, yeah, we just got the word. She said, I'm in charge of the hospitality then, and she's got her committee. So they'll be talking to people to produce food items that will be served to the chorale as well as to the guests who are within Our Savior. Let you know, in December, we had virtually 95 people for that concert. That was the best attended concert we've had here at Our Savior for the Musicale. And the Musicale loves to come here. That's why they keep coming back to us, and we greatly appreciate them. So it's a mutual love. Glad to have them. We thank those who have come in to serve and those who substituted in the reading of the lessons. Inside your now, you see weekday Bible studies that are taking place. The Harbingers is looking at signs that God has given us in our present age, real time, perhaps indicating the end or the closing of the days of history, human history, and the beginning of God's total rule and reign with Jesus Christ's second coming. We're looking at the scriptures. We're looking at current events. We're looking through the eyes of Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who's also a Christian minister, what we call a Messianic Jew, who came to faith in Jesus Christ and has a strong knowledge of the Old Testament. We're looking at his view of things plus other people's view of what's taking place in this world. Just when you think the world is chaotic and out of control, always remember God is still in control. And even if we don't understand the plan, God is directing it towards his destiny of his return to us and redeeming us once and for all. We have a Thursday evening Bible study. It's a small group. It's a different experience altogether. Each session is its own. It's small group in the sense there's 8 of us who get together, study the word, do personal sharing. It's more intimate than lecture or thought-provoking, but it is thought-provoking. It looks introspective plus at God's word. So if you like that experience, that's Thursday night. If you have another experience you would like, daytime or evening, suggest it to me, and if we can fit it in, we will be happy to do it. For your calendars, I've been asked usually 1 to 3 times a week, when are we supposed to turn in our banks or our money for the ark? The answer is anytime. So the last day we would like it is May 6th, so the coin banks can be counted by Marcia and a team of coins in that to go through that to know how much we have received. You will see we have received to date in this congregation $526 through the Lenten season. We still have a couple weeks left and we hope that it's going to come in at the end. Be nice to reach a goal, which many times we do with World Hunger, of $1,000. Remember that this is a joint effort of our downtown churches. This is the first time in 100 years we've done anything this pan-ecumenical. 60 nominations, each participating in the campaign. We are one of the 6. During the Lenten luncheons that were hosted at St. John United Church of Christ, we raised $2,800. Each ark is $5,000. And we'd like to reach at least 1, 1.5, or 2 arcs from our sister churches and ourselves. Keep that in mind. Turn in your monies anytime. It can be a lump sum check, it can be cash, or it can be coin in your banks. Just bring it in when you feel you're ready to do that. Many things in your bulletin, I hope you'll read and respond to the ones appropriate for you. Our worship continues with singing our offertory sanctuary. We'll sing it twice in your worship bulletin. It's on page 15. Please rise. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let us feast this Easter day on Christ. He is the bread of heaven. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. I think we're going to be one table, so why don't you just come on forward. Gather the sheep to us. John. Christ's body for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Take a drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. The body of Christ for you, Judy. Kathy, Christ's body for you. The body of Christ for you, Deb. Marcia, Christ's body for you. Body of Christ for you, Scott. And the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. Christ's body for you. Take and eat. And take and drink. Marcia, Christ's blood shed for you. Take and drink. And take and drink. Amen. And take and drink. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By his death and resurrection, he's made full satisfaction for all your sins. Depart in his peace. Amen. Well, the hymns, the distribution did not take long. If you continue with the service folder, we're on page 20 with the blessing and then following with a prayer. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless and keep you now and forever.
Amen. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of heaven to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through the same Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. May God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, Because He Lives.
Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.